Blog Talk Radio.
Singing songs into my life, you came along, broke my slumber so long. Singing songs into my life, you came along. All that be touched by your song, every single heart sings aloud. No more being alone. That is why I am too. In your songs I dance like a fool. I have been always loving you. In your sweet rhythmic song. Every form and every tune, next of kin to every soul, it's you. You are on this earth and in the heavens blue, like an unbroken song.
Hey there, and welcome to Science of Light Show. This is Randy Goldberg, and I want to give people a call-in number. It's 760-542-4345, and then press 1 if you'd like to speak to me with a question or a comment. And hope people are enjoying this time of transition in the world, and with the seasons, change of seasons, and perhaps you're feeling the retrograde energies coming upon us. We're going to be having a Mercury retrograde that starts on the 4th of October. And we'll go to the 25th. And sometimes people get picked up and scared about Mercury retrogrades. They've been heard a lot of things of things break down, and there can be communication confusions and different things. But really, Mercury retrograde, all retrogrades are about going inside and taking a time. We always want to rush ahead, and it's important. All movement happens in a wave-like motion. So there's times to retreat, to reflect, to go inside, to renew, to revisit. All the rewords apply to retrograde. So this coming October, be a good time to see what revisit unfinished projects, and to take time to go inside. And it's a nice time, good timing, but changing temperatures and leaves and the various reminders we have of life's passings, comings and goings, and the cycles all around us. And things after that sweet summer we've had, there's been some intensity here with the fall. Pluto went direct, it's been retrograde, and on September 22nd, Pluto went to direct. It had been retrograde since April. And also at the same time on the 22nd, Uranus and Pluto were making its fifth exact square, and it's doing this seven times, and this is a really big cycle. A 7-8 year cycle that the final one, seventh, going seven times when it goes exact. And so this one is a bit more of an internal. It's not been felt that much in the outer world, but a lot of shaking going on in people's lives and feeling that pressure of change and old deep structures rooted in our psyche. Here we have a chance to see some shadow material, to pull at patterns that we've been stuck in and make a change. Part of the way I've been dealing and internalizing some of these energies around is I've started a fall cleanse. I did a spring cleanse, and it's nice with the change of seasons to do a fast, to do some kind of transition. In Chinese philosophy and macrobiotic thinking, they talk about yang-izing the body when winter's coming to make you more. It's a time to get grounded, to build up your chi, your energy. And, you know, as you know, a lot of people get cold, they get sick and stuff during this period and the change of seasons. And so it can be a nice time to focus a little bit on your health and to personally, you know, every year I gain a couple pounds, and what I've found is if I do a spring and fall cleanse, a week or two of fasting, that Instead, every year I lose a couple pounds, so that works for me. And doing something like that, just a little few things about fasting. It's part of yoga lifestyle and discipline. They fast usually twice a month, a couple days before the new moon and the full moon. The effect of the tides can be felt. And our body is mostly water. And if the water kind of gets pulled up towards our head, fasting helps kind of pull that down. And so they'll do a one-day fast, often even without water. It's definitely not good to fast more than one day without water. Fasting, you can do with juices. It's nice to, you want to be gentle with yourself and experiment and build up your muscle. You don't necessarily want to dive into a big, long fast, but as you get experience with fasting, it becomes easier, and I've fasted for many years, and so it's no big deal, and I actually find that I get more energy, more time, more energy available when I fast, and everybody's body is different, and so it's important, don't do anything extreme, be nice, gentle with your body, and see what feels good and right. And but the stomach is a muscle, and it's always working, and it's nice to give it a chance to rest and clear out. And there gets to be a lot of people who chronically overeat get it's called leaky gut syndrome, and all the food doesn't necessarily get digested that we eat, and there's built up matter that when you fast, because the juices can concentrate and clean the walls and get cleared out stuff that's been stored in there that hasn't been eliminated. So clearing and cleansing and purifying, and I find it quite inspiring. Definitely helps your meditation and your whole spiritual connection, connecting to subtle side of life, music, colors, things become very vibrant when you're doing fast. And it's good for building up your discipline, and yeah. So anyway, there's these energies around now that that's one way to take advantage of this Mercury retrograde coming on the 4th. Then there's also a lot going on. It's also an inspiring time. Jupiter and Uranus are forming a trine. And so that's really nice. There's smooth energies with that trine between the planet of inspiration and wisdom, Jupiter, and then Uranus bringing sudden, unexpected things, and so there can be unexpected insights and flashes of inspiration, and can be a really creative time and opportunity to access some of the deeper gifts and treasures that we have inside ourselves. Actually, on September 25th is when that was exact, the Jupiter-Uranus trine, and also Mars is trining those three, adding more energy to that, and yeah, there's just powerful energies around. It's a good time to be making steps towards what you want to create in your life, what your vision and your ideals and your values, and implementing needed change, and seeing the big picture and making some goals and taking steps towards those things. And this is building up to October 8th. There's a lunar eclipse, which is also going to be conjuncting Uranus, which kind of is a little intense in terms of could be things, some things going on in the world. But with the Uranus transits, you expect the unexpected. Eclipses often expose things, but lunar eclipses are more internal. They're usually more psychological and more things being revealed to yourself. And then that there'll be a partial solar eclipse. And that's usually more things in the outer world. Often around solar eclipses, there's scandals and things being revealed in the news and in the world. But it is a partial solar eclipse. But anyway, this is, yeah, powerful energies with building up to October 8th, the lunar eclipse we have been. So I'll give out the call-in number again is 760-542-4345, and then press 1 to get into the call queue, or there's also a chat room. You can type questions or comments there. So, yeah, I'm always curious how people are experiencing the energies and how all this is unfolding in your life. We've seen a lot go on this year with the issues of racism and the whole Ferguson riots, and you know, it's been a long time since we had race riots in this country, and there's a lot coming to the surface to be looked at, injustices and opportunity, the balance, and a willingness to finally look at some long neglected issues, and it's a time of healing in our country. And this summer had really sweet and nice energies. It was a good summer for most people. It's been there's a whole intensity of this Pluto-Uranus square where we're all challenged, and the whole economic world is changing around us, and we have to adjust and figure out new ways in this new world with so much change and the difficulties of the recession and different things that people are facing. And when you're taking steps to do something like a fall cleanse, do a couple of days of fasting, it's nice to have friend and support. So you know, you might want to reach out. And not just do it alone. If you have somebody you can call, usually the first day or two are the most difficult. This particular one, I'm just eating a bit of fruit in the morning. And so many different ways you can do this. that lemon water is a really nice thing to drink and to help one with getting the body more alkaline, less acidic, and when you break a fast, it's nice to break a fast with banana and maybe some yogurt. If you don't eat dairy, there's soy yogurt stuff available these days. But it's nice to break a fast gently and some people just can cut back, and for a lot of people, their blood pressure, their blood sugar, different things, they might just choose to go for a couple of days eating fruit and salads, eating lightly. That's one way to do it. And it's all about balance and finding out what works for you. When people diet, 95% of diets don't work. And we think that so much of our life is within the control of our conscious mind, but there's so much that's unconscious. The Jungian model of the psyche is that the conscious mind, the ego portion, is just a couple percent, and that the vast iceberg of our psyche is residing in our unconscious. That, we feed ourselves to help comfort ourselves, to help soothe, and when you're a child, the initial nourishment that we take in, a baby is helpless and needs to be fed. And so a lot of the roots of our eating and our connection with eating can go back to early patterns that got set up. And some people will use gaining weight to ground themselves. It's important to accept yourself. There's no need to judge about whatever, where the body finds its homeostasis, its place of balance. And for a lot of people, they need that insulation. They need the protection that comes from a few layers of fat that help ground them and help to be a defense against this world that can be quite cruel and difficult to deal with in different ways. And there's some people who, go the opposite direction and are too thin. And on that side of the spectrum, there's a refusal to take in, to say yes to life, to say yes to the taking in food, taking in what we need to nourish ourselves, to feed our body. So accepting is, yes, is a form of accepting. And then the constellation, we look for areas where we've said no to life, to letting the life energies in to support us. And that's where connecting with your ancestors, connecting with this flow of life, that in the family you are born into, there's a certain flow of the life force energy and the love of the family got passed down into you, and you have the choice to open and say, I accept this life, I accept this flow of life that has come to me, and I'll take this gift this gift of life, and I'll move forward with it, and I'll move forward and do something good with this gift, with this life. I'll do something to live my life in a full, happy, and meaningful way. And can all relate to all of this. And when you feel that support at your back of the ancestors, that they're happy and proud to see you having this opportunity to take that life force that they were connected to that got passed down, and you know, whatever difficulties different ancestors had, they were survivors. They lived long enough to pass life on. And often there can be challenges with our parents and with, you know, more recent generations. And if that's the case, then connect a little further back. It's nice to do some research where your forefathers and mothers came from, and then you can connect with those cultures and just connect with the ancient peoples of those cultures, of those lands, and to know that some of the energies of those lands are there to support you now as you make that connection in the same way that you can make a connection to those forefathers and mothers, our great grandmothers and great grandfathers that lived in different places. America is a land of immigrants, and we have a tendency to have a David Copperfield syndrome where we say, my life started on such and such a date, the day I was born, and moved forward. And so in this country, it's easy to forget how we're standing on the shoulders of so many who came before us, who allowed us to have the great wealth and abundance that we have now, and all these tools and technologies and all the knowledge that allows our modern world and life to exist the way that it does. There's a Vedic prayer where you give thanks to the ancestors, you give thanks to the wise people who came before and gave their wisdom. And this is often done daily after one bathes. It's a way to remember and have gratitude to start your day. It's nice when you make this energetic connection with your ancestors to feel that you can, you feel they can be behind you, that you have their support in your back. You literally can lean into their support. They all survived and were able to pass on life. And that gift has come to you. And now as you live your life, you can move to whatever goal will make you happy and live a full and fulfilled life. As you see that goal in front of you and there's different obstacles that arise in your life, you can draw on this, the energies of the ancestors. You can ask them for wisdom, for strength, for guidance, for healing, whatever it is that you're needing in your life, they're a resource to draw upon. And when you make that connection, when you build something, when you draw something, when you create something, you naturally have this love and affinity for it. And so there's a natural flow in nature that what we create, and that parents created their children, that there's this natural flow that sometimes gets blocked and disturbed by different things that happen. But there is a disturbance. When you go far enough back, you know, we all have ancestors who lived hundreds of generations back, you know, thousands. It keeps going back and back. And so we can connect to our ancient roots, and that can be a source of strength. That there's a flow that is there in nature also. Nature exists within this universal flow. But our life force was given to us. We, you know, often different religions, we worship in God, different God, and God is our creator. But literally, we are created by our mother and father coming together. So in a way, they have this godlike position in our life, and that's part of why some different difficulties arise. Often we have so many different projections, and they trigger such deep complexes and our fears and angers and all different things that arise. And it's because we don't see our parents as people. We see them as the mother, the father archetype, these archetypal energies that are so huge, that are overwhelming for the psyche at times. And a nice thing to help humanize and defuse and help you stand in their feet is to have a picture of your parent when they were very young, when they're a baby, when they're a child, when they were innocent, then that can help to give you a whole different perspective on who this person is who you happen to be born into their family as their child, and them as your parent. And, you know, they had their parents before them, and they had their parents before them, and they, each person is this chain link connection that, and so it's nice doing an ancestral meditation where you feel that your parents are at your back, and feel your father is behind your right shoulder with his hand on your shoulder supporting you, and your mother is behind you, supporting you on your left shoulder, and behind them is their parents. So your grandparents are behind them, and then your great-grandparents are behind them, and your great-great-grandparents behind them. And just keep going and just do this as a visualization. And after several generations, you won't have any pictures or any stories or any images of what your great-great-great-grandmother and grandfather looked like. But, you know, you must have had one. So in this kind of ancestral meditation, you let yourself visualize going back 10, 20, just to keep adding past great-great-great-great-grandmothers and grandfathers, and to see them standing there, even though you can't necessarily see their face, you can understand that there was a person who was that person, and then you add their parents behind them, and like this, you keep going back, and it becomes a huge V. We go back far enough, all of humanity is connected, and we ultimately come from the same source, and that's another way to arrive at that feeling and that understanding of the oneness that is the true understanding of universal consciousness and the cosmic mind and the infinite ocean of being, great mystery, whatever you want to call it. Silent knowledge, it's beyond intellectual understanding. So I want to get off the number again. It's calling number 760-542-4345, and then press 1 in case you have a question or comment or want to a chance to talk. Go ahead, call that, and so part of this bigger picture of this Uranus-Pluto shift that started in 2008 and it ends in 2015, and it's a lot of changes to deep structures in our economy and deep institutional changes. We're seeing how things that things like gay marriage and legalization of marijuana and things where there had been no change for many years since the 60s. It's part of a cycle that started actually back in the late 60s, and there's all that change happened then. So a lot of those ideas sort of became widespread, but now they're coming to a time when they can be institutionally integrated into society. So there's a lot of build up critical mass and things, you know, that even that are threatening the planet, the global warming and ecological, you know, the first wave of ecological awareness, Earth Day came, you know, back in the 70s, and there's a lot of awareness is building up where things that are broken, that aren't working in society, we can let go of and envision and go forward in a new way, finding what works for the welfare of the greater good of more people. And particularly now, part of the flow we're in and the inspiration that comes from, you know, it's the first time in history that we had this kind of the technology that we have available to us and the connections and the, how quickly we can search things. And so the pace of change and speed accelerates, and you know, particularly with this Uranus-Jupiter trine that we're having, there's a lot of inspiration that can come in, and you can take advantage. And make just allow what your next steps and unfoldings are to be. So let's see if there's anyone wants to call in, and looks like we don't have anybody lighting up right now, so I think this might be a good time to I'll go out with some kirtan and some nice meditation music. I started with a Prabhat Sangeet song that's similar to the Bengali folk song. And also this kirtan, all this kind of music, meditation music is available at innersong.com, I-N-N-E-R, song.com. This has been Randy Goldberg. My website's randygoldberg.org or astrodc.com, and I'm available for an hour reading. It's $80 for an hour astrology reading where you get both the Western and the Vedic systems. We compare. They both have valuable perspectives, and they integrate the whole thing from the Jungian perspective. So that's astrodc.com, astrodc.com. All right, and if there is some callers, while we have this outro music, you can get in the call queue. I could always come back out. Otherwise, I'll just go off with this and enjoy, and I'll connect with people next week. there. This is Randy Goldberg, and I see somebody called in, so I just wanted to see, did you have a question or comment? Did you want to be in the call queue? This is the person with the 901 area code. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Hello.
Hi there. How are you?
How are you doing?
I'm
good.
Pretty well.
I just tuned in, so I haven't heard any of the show. What is the topic?
We talked about some of the astrological energies that were going on this time, and kind of the transition and what we're shifting with this shift into fall and change of seasons, and we have a Mercury retrograde coming up, and there's some good energies for reflecting and retreating and reevaluating and rethinking projects, and so it's kind of a time to go inside. I'm using these energies to do a fall cleanse, and I'm doing some fasting and using it that way, and so things like that.
Okay, that's what I've been thinking about and doing all weekend.
Yeah, a lot of those energies around.
Yeah. Okay, so we have an eclipse coming up. Do you know when that eclipse is going to be?
Yeah, the lunar eclipse is on October 8th, and that's going to also be conjunct Uranus. So it's going to be intense. If it was a solar eclipse conjuncting Uranus like that, I would like be a little bit worried about it. Could be accidents and natural disasters and some big news. But lunar eclipses are often more internal and more psychological and aren't as felt as deeply in the outer world. And we do have a partial solar eclipse also later in the month on the 23rd of October. It's only partial. But yeah, there'll be intense energies. And often the lunar eclipse, we feel it in our life like 2 weeks before it's happening. So a lot of people have already felt that kind of wave of the eclipse energies and some ahas and insights and awareness of how the roots of some deep, long-standing issues that they might have been struggling with, and an opportunity to make some profound change in their life and open up in ways that haven't been possible before.
Okay. Are you looking at natal charts tonight?
I'm doing some. I usually don't do a full reading. Is there any particular issue you're concerned about or you're dwelling on?
Yeah, I just want you to look at my chart and see how the transits are affecting me, or whatever pops out. I know you can't do a full reading, but I'd like that if you could do that.
Well, is there any particular issue that is going on that you've been working on?
Of course, it's my job and relationship.
Right.
Those are always the bane.
Yeah. All right. I don't usually do it, but what the heck. So do you know your time of birth as well as the date?
I do.
And place?
I do know the time.
Okay.
It's July 5th.
All right. Okay, your sensitive soul. All right. July 5th.
Yeah, July 5th, 1963,
uh-huh.
At 9:56 a.m.
And,
Memphis.
And where were you born?
Memphis.
Memphis, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, one of the reasons I don't do this also because it takes couple minutes. Fill me in a little bit what was going on this weekend, because you said you already were feeling those energies and have been...
It was just hard, and I was rethinking everything, and I got information that the way I'm doing things is not going to be the way that I'm going to be able to continue to do them, because they're just no longer useful or working. And I'm looking to be in a relationship. I'm seeing someone, and it's kind of new and developing, and it's kind of at a standstill right now. But also, I got the insight to love myself. But also, at the same time, I'm still open for a relationship.
Well, you know, the relationships don't really... They're a reflection, the inner and outer, and, you know, until we can get to a place where we love ourselves, then a lot of times it can't really happen. So that's a big step.
Yeah, it's like the, you know, like never before, and I clearly see it. So I did a lot of self-love, self-nurturing, and just kind of doing a little self-forgiveness about the things that, you know, we kick ourselves about, that we should have done, could have done, and ought to do, and all that.
Yeah.
More like
yeah.
past regrets. It was just a lot of stuff that came up.
But
it was really good. I didn't come out sad. I came out more empowered.
Mm-hmm. And that's a perfect expression of what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm. It was sad for a minute, but I just couldn't go to that place and just stay there. It was like a lot of stuff came up to surface for me to look at, and I looked at it, and it was like, ooh. But, I got some resolution ideas.
So you're a sensitive soul. You're not only, Cancer Sun, but you have Cancer Mercury. So your mind also thinks in that very emotional, sensitive, deep well of emotion, a very giving. Cancer's love to nurture others, to mother and feed and take care of other people. And it's a very giving sign. And they're so sensitive that, you know, the symbol is the crab has a shell to protect itself, and when they get hurt, the emotions go very deep, and when they get hurt, and those regrets and things you were talking about, they have the pinchers, because they hold on to those past things for a long, long time. It's difficult for them to let go of the past hurts and regrets and guilt and different things. So that's great that you were able to do that, because it's something that's not easy. And but you're looking now at your Western chart, and if your Venus is in Mercury, close to
It's Gemini. Venus is Gemini.
Venus and Gemini close to Mercury. It's you have a conjunction by 6 degrees, and so that's often gives one artistic ability, and there's a closeness with your mind and that aesthetic sense, and wanting to create love and beauty in the world and make this world a better place. And you have a lot of placements that would be good for being a therapist. You have Jupiter in the 8th house that rules an interest in psychology and things that are mystic and occult and having to do with the unconscious mind. You have Pluto and Mars conjuncting your ascendant. There's this intensity, there's a certain electricity about you when people meet you. And another thing that causes you to have a lot of regrets and be hard on yourself and not for you to be your own worst enemy and therefore not to be self-loving. And but it's easy for you to beat up on yourself with all that perfectionist energy. The Mars and the Pluto and Uranus are all in Virgo. That's a big dose of Virgo energy where you would like to be perfect, but nobody's perfect in this world. And therefore, you're someone who is detailed oriented and puts a lot of demands on yourself, and it's not always easy to make live up to that kind of standard. But you do have your moon in the fourth house, and so you are a natural homebody, and you really have your heart in your home and family, and exact opposition with the moon and Venus. So relationships are really important to you, but often they don't necessarily go that smoothly, those energies are opposing each other. It's a beautiful chart. You're definitely a very giving person and a person that very loving and giving person. You have Saturn transiting your Neptune. This is a few degrees away, but there's certain. This is a little closer in degrees. So there's certain ideals you've had and stuff that are really being challenged and really having to look at the raw reality of things. But you're also having Saturn squaring your natal Saturn, so you're having Saturn square Saturn, which is a midlife crisis time of dark night of the soul, where you're forced to look at things that haven't gone the way you wanted to, and Saturn transits cause one to look at things that are hard and to make changes that aren't easy, and so it's a bit of a painful waking up call with that. And at the same time, there's energies and opportunities to grow and to be serious and mature, and like you were saying, loving yourself in ways that you hadn't, and particularly with all that Virgo, the tendency is to be very self-critical and one's own worst critic, and particularly with that, all that Cancer, then you're especially sensitive, and that makes it all that more difficult. Does that seem to fit what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, to the T.
Yeah. I'm a Cancer myself, and so I know it's not easy having that much sensitivity and kind of figuring out how to do the dance.
When's your birthday?
Now it's June 28th, so just like a week away from yours. Mm-hmm. Let's see from here. In the Vedic chart, you have a lot of Leo energy. In the Vedic chart, if they had to describe you, they'd say you were Leo because your Lagna, your rising sign, is Leo, and it's very fiery. It has Mars in the first house, and wow, boy. Yeah, your Vedic chart is really interesting, and it's such a different perspective because, they would say you're this fiery Leo that has, since Mars is in the first house, there's a certain fighting energy that's there. So definitely, relationships are gonna take a toll on relationships. But you're meant to kind of fight for a cause. You have a great blessing in this life. You have 3-4 planets in the 11th house, the house of gains. And so 12th house planets are, 12th house is the house of loss, and 11th house is the house of gains. So Mercury, Venus, and Sun are there. It's like you get to cash in a lot of chips and have had a lot of blessings in your life. You do have North Node, which is called Rahu in the Vedic astrology, and that's symbolism of the North and South Node in Jyotish and Indian astrology is a Naga snake demon that has his head cut off, and so the North Node is the head, and it can't ground, it's restless. So with those, having those blessings and having a lot of things that you were given in this life, particularly in relationships and in your mentally, Mercury is there and your Sun is there, the core, those are all in the 11th house in the Vedic chart. And that's a Raja Yoga, it's a powerful combination, but they're a bit disturbed. These nodes of the moon, they're invisible points, and so they create some, they're not allowing it to express as fully as it would. But, and you also have this incredible spiritual intelligence. Those things that I saw in the Western chart for you being a good therapist, actually, you should be doing what I'm doing and do, and you have incredible intuition and a spiritual connection. You have Moon and K2, the South Node, in the fifth house, the house of intelligence. So your intelligence is an intuitive intelligence. You just know things. Do you have a way that you express your intuition? Because you'd be a great tarot reader, or if you gave, however you wanted to use that intuition, but it's very powerful. K2, the South Node would be the body without the head. Part of the symbolism is you have to lose your head, lose your ego to get liberated. And so that spiritual part is there with the moon, which can create some alienation in that, you feel like you don't belong to this world. It's like, where did the mothership go? It dropped you off here, and where are your people? Where are your tribe?
You're good.
It's great. And then you have Saturn in the house, which can be a house of enemy, and Saturn is a good planet to have there because you'll have some enemies that come in life, but you'll be able to stand up against them with that Saturn. It's retrograde, that makes the Saturn even stronger, but that also can give health issues in the sixth house. And you have Jupiter in the eighth house, so you have these four planets in the house of gains, but your Saturn and Jupiter are both in difficult houses. Eighth house is the house of endings and obstacles, and so there's Yeah, so there's, you know, you've had to balance. You're so lucky you have that combination there in the 11th house with all that energies of gains. And like everyone, you know, from the Vedic perspective, we just clearly see how you were born into this life. You took incarnation due to certain curses and certain blessings. And so you had hard lessons to learn and great blessings and opportunities. And it's all there. It's all part of life and relationships. You know, it's not surprising. It's a focus, and it's that you have some hard lessons to learn. Your nakshatra, which is like a guiding star, is mula, that relates to the root, and it's very primal, and it's kind of the kundalini energy, and this is definitely the chart of a mystic. And you had a big shift that happened in 2010. The end of 2010, you started a whole new phase of your life. And you're in this Rahu phase.
2012, going like 11 and 12. Oh, boy, mm-hmm. I thought my life was ending. It was so crazy.
Well, you're in that kind of crazy phase where you're meant to express your shadow and you're meant to engage in the world and find out what's God manifests himself, herself as the world. And so you're meant to dive in and eat too much and have too much of everything. And then when you're sick of it, then you can give it up. So you're meant to have your limits and to explore the shadow side. And they say, so you're in a Rahu Dasha period, and it's going to last all the way until you retire, till you're like 65 in 2028. So you're meant to, they say in a Rahu period, one might gain a fortune and lose it. And there's this restless energy that Rahu brings, but don't try to hold back, because you're meant to go crazy with the world. And it's sort of the opposite of the classical. After that, you go into a Jupiter phase, which would be much more of a classical spiritual phase where you want to meditate and hang out with spiritual groups and stuff. But that's a long ways off. So enjoy the dance. Enjoy. Yeah, you're definitely meant to be pursuing relationships. And
do you think that in this lifetime, now this question just popped out of nowhere, that this is my lifetime to meet my twin soul or twin flame?
Yeah, that's a fantasy that it'd be good to let go of. You know, there's, we learn from relationships are just mirrors. Who shows up is who's meant to show up to mirror what we need to learn. And particularly in this period, even if you get in the relationship with Mr. Perfect, there's a great poem that says, I spent my whole life searching for the perfect partner. And after so much time, and after I traveled the world, and I spent my whole life, and the very end of my life, I finally found them. And then it turns out they were also looking for the perfect partner. And so you see the tragedy of that, you know, because that person wasn't perfect, but they were looking for just the perfect. And so it, I would say, drop that like a hot potato. It's basically kind of a new age fantasy that, it shows in your karma, particularly since you have Mars in the first house, there's going to be fighting relationships. You have a life where you have this, you know, Mars is a god of war. You're meant to fight for a cause. You're meant to come in and be a change agent and to to take a stand and to not take crap, you know. And with all that cancer, it's easy to become codependent. It's easy to be a doormat. It's easy. And you're meant to learn some lessons where you learn to stand up for yourself. And so it's a bit opposite, you know. You have a lot of blessings in this life, and really it's about expressing this you know, incredible intelligence you have, which is so strongly based in intuition and is very spiritual. That's what it's about. And to have an embodied spirituality, and particularly in this phase, you're meant to be enjoying relationships and learning in them, and forget about perfection and the perfect partner and soulmate and this and that.
In the partnership, I'm not necessarily, or I don't think I'm necessarily looking for perfection. I'm seeking someone who is willing to be in a long-term relationship.
You know, that
may be destined for me. Because I really haven't been in a, now this is going to sound crazy, but I really haven't been in a relationship. I married 2 times, stayed together about 1 year, and that was to the same person. And I through my 20s, 30s, and 40s, and now I've really been in a relationship.
Yeah, so and, in this period you're in now, in this Rahu, you're going to learn the lesson that you learn about relationships from being in relationships. You can read 100 books about juggling until you start doing it and practicing in this. So my advice is, particularly since you're in this Rahu, you're in this North Node Dasha, just, of course, you want the long-term this or that, but short-term develops into medium-term, develops into long-term. And particularly in this phase you're in right now, have fun in relationships, enjoy dating, enjoy meeting people, and just learn from it all.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I really want. But I keep imagining this person that I'm going to, you know, be with and be like in a marriage-type relationship that lasts.
Right. Well, and if that's meant to happen, it will happen. But right now, it's like the reason you're in this Rahu, this North Node Dasha, is because there's this hunger that's built up. And so now it's pushing you. It's like, okay, this was crazy. You know, I'm in my 50s now and I haven't been in a relationship. So the time is, that energy is now just pushing you, whatever. You said it earlier, you know, it's about self-love. How can we can ask someone else to love us when we don't love ourselves? And, you know, you're finally digesting that piece, and it's particularly difficult with that combination of the Virgo energies you have and then the sensitivity of the Cancer, so It's going to be a nice phase, and enjoy it. And there's a lot to learn in every phase of life. And after you go through all this, when you turn 65, you're going to feel very different, and you're going to really want to be involved in spiritual activities and stuff. But now's not the time for that. So enjoy this phase while you're
here. I do a lot of spiritual. My life is spiritual, and
I do
what you do, but I don't. I'm not doing it professionally. I do it like in everyday life and with people that are, you know, around me.
Yeah, you're going to attract people who will reveal their soul. They'll pour their heart out to you, and you're kind of like, well, why are they doing this to me? Because they sense what you have and what your gift is. And you just have a natural knowing for all this. And you're very generous and giving with it all. And so you know, so that's beautiful, and it doesn't have to be something professional, but just know that it's your gift, and it's your gift to give to the world, however you want to choose to do that.
Well, that's what I have to do now. I got to find out, because that's another thing that came up this weekend. I'm not okay with what I've been doing, and it seems to be draining my energy, and I really want to use my gift, my gifts that I came to give to the world, and tie that to my abundance, and you know, in the way of taking care of myself and paying for my living expenses and, you know, where I'm living, as in like a career change. But I don't know what that is. I don't know where to begin or how to start to change. So I guess all that will be revealed.
Well, you know, some of that is you begin by learning, and the more you develop, if you keep learning and growing, and, you know, at times that involves schooling and different things, but as long as, you know, Joseph Campbell had the best advice about this, is follow your bliss. So follow what interests you, because you're naturally going to want to spend time and focus on what you're interested in. But, you know, pursue it in a serious way so that you eventually develop, you know, any interest can eventually also have a career side to it, and that will naturally unfold as you put energy into that and keep learning and growing.
Okay.
Because then, you know, if you're doing what you like to do and what you're interested in, then that's what's going to work best for you.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing, and I truly believe that. And, and I know it, but I just got to make the connection and bring it together. Because I want to be happy. I really want to be happy and healthy.
Sure, and you deserve it. And so with the cancer sensitivity and the Virgo self-criticalness, you know, it's time to, you know, we develop, it's called top dog, underdog, where often our sensitive side is the underdog, and we have a top dog part of ourselves that says, you should be like this, you should do that, you should be perfect and whatever. And so some dialoguing between those parts, but just giving permission for every part of you to come to the table and to let those parts like hold hands and realize we're all trying to make this a better life where I'm happy and living the life I want to. So they, instead of sabotaging each other, they integrate and move towards that that life you were just describing.
Yeah.
So it sounds perfect. It's really unfolding the way it's meant to. And congratulations, you know, basically. And you're thanks for calling in. You are a perfect example even though you missed it. I was talking about all this exactly. I mean, you described how people are feeling these energies, and you're a great reflection of that. So appreciate you calling in.
And I appreciate you, too, and I will go to the archives to listen from the beginning because I want to hear the program.
Yeah, that would be perfect. Great.
And you're
okay,
so intuitive. So.
Yeah, it's your gift, too. So be well, and I have some outro music that I'll go to, and I'll see you folks. Tune in next week. Thanks, and take care. And I'll just mention, you heard that bit of reading, that if you're interested in a reading, feel free to contact me, randygoldberg.org or astrodc.com. It's $80 for an hour reading. You get both the Western and the Vedic, different perspectives, different systems from a Jungian perspective. Take care. See you next week. See you next week.